Good morning. Please sit down. I hope you're expecting Psalm 100. Such a relief. Psalm 100 is considered one of the most widely known and loved psalms, often referred to as the 100th or the Jubilate. And it's a psalm many people know off by heart, and you probably will do before the morning's out. And it's probably my favourite. Whenever I'm feeling sad or glum, I always put Ian White's version of this psalm, as he's put it into music, and it's really loud and joyful, and I'd urge you all to listen to it. It's on Spotify. So, it's a short psalm. Although not the shortest in the Bible, Psalm 117 wins that prize with only two verses, so that might be a good one to start with. But it is easy to learn off by heart. And this psalm is characterised by giving everyone the impression of being a loud and noisy psalm. And as we know, short people, myself especially, are considered to be loud and noisy to compensate for their short stature. And this is certainly true of Psalm 100. The opening line sets the tone for the whole psalm. Shout to the Lord, or in other Bible versions, make a noise. It is not somber and it is not quiet. And neither is it a complicated psalm. It is easily understood, self-explanatory, uses direct commands and clear language, and you probably don't need a sermon on it at all. And this was my excuse, but the task was to think of Psalm 100 in relation to prayer, and so I did have to do a little bit of thinking. And it does seem strange that this noisy psalm is used as a prayer when we consider a prayer time to be silent and reflective. But as we examine the verses today, we shall see that it provides a framework and offers pointers for our personal and corporate prayer life. So, as it says, shout to the Lord, all the earth, regardless of background, race, culture, or circumstances. Now, we might think that the crowds made a lot of noise when the Lionesses won the football, but this psalm is expecting a lot more noise than that. It doesn't just mean people shout, but it includes everything on earth. In Luke, we read that the stones along the road will cheer. And in Isaiah 55, we are told the mountains and the hills break into songs, and even the trees will clap their hands. Now, that really is a lot of noise. So when was the last time you really shouted for joy and made a noise? Was it in church? Perhaps those over there who went to New Wine can tell us how they... Exactly. But I expect for many of us it may have been at a sports event or a pop concert. Last weekend we shouted in Romsey Abbey because friends had got married, and that was a big noise. But shouting for joy is a natural human expression. Joy is felt in our bodies. This is scientific now, because of the release of dopamine and serotonin. Both of these chemicals are heavily associated with happiness. And when we know the loving God, it's this that gives us the joy. But what happens if you don't feel happy and you don't want to shout for joy? Well, psychologists believe two things can help us and encourage our joyfulness: being with or standing alongside joyful and happy people. Joyful shouts and emotions are understood by others and is contagious. Joyfulness is catching. So go and stand over there with that lot. Secondly, psychologists believe that shouting, smiling can also trick your brain by elevating your heart rate and reducing your stress. The smile, joy doesn't have to be based on real emotions, because faking it works the same too. The same chemicals are released and can bring us transformed feelings. So don't be glum. God actually knows this because he made us. And he says, make a joyful noise. The word make, he doesn't assume that you're starting your day or your prayer time from a place of joy, but ask that you come to prayer with that desire in your heart. God wants us to know and feel joy. No matter how dark our life and circumstances are, there is joy to be found in the hope of a prayerful communication with a loving, wise, and good God. Spurgeon writes, our happy God should be worshipped by happy people. There is joy in our everyday life, but we must make the effort to find it. On a practical level, because I am quite practical, find prayer partners who you know can shout really loud for joy. Join a noisy small group. But what about praying on our own? Shouting for joy and making a noise may not feel appropriate in our quiet time, but if that's not possible, smile before you pray, because smiling reduces our stress. So regardless of our personality, our preference of church style, God does expect us to shout for joy. So our prayer time begins with this desire to be joyful. And the two verses next, and the verse following continues this joyful theme. Worship the Lord with gladness, come before him with joyful songs. Many Bible translations use the word serve instead of worship. Serve the Lord with gladness. And we all know that the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Whatever we do in our daily lives, we do it joyfully and without grumbling and complaining. An authentic love for God is shown in our interactions at work, in our families, our friends, and our church life. And we can't serve the Lord with gladness when we're proud, angry, or feeling sorry for ourselves. Let's remind ourselves of Martha and Mary. Martha wasn't happy. She was doing the majority of the work, so she was cross with her sister and interrupted Jesus' telling to tell him so. Do you interrupt your prayer life and listening to God by dwelling on the negatives in your life? Or are you like Martha, accusing Jesus of not caring or listening? Do we use the banner of prayer to ask God to change other people? In prayer, we are glad because we can pray to a God who knows everything there is about us, and we certainly can depend on trusting him. In prayer, we can let go of our worries and the need to control our own lives, and in particular, try to control the lives of others. So God wants us to come with him with gladness. And it should not be out of obligation. Prayer, we should not be obliged to feel we need to pray every day. But we need to come to him out of a genuine love for him and not out of duty. I like this verse because it particularly mentions singing. And God wants us to sing to him. He doesn't need that for our worship. He is already perfect and complete. He doesn't need to be told. God wants us to sing because music has a unique way of expressing emotions and allows us to connect to God at a deeper level. Singing draws us into a closer relationship with God. It brings joy, peace, and a deeper understanding of God's nature. And when we sing together, like we did this morning, it encourages unity and strengthens our connection. Like joy, singing is contagious and it lifts our hearts. Singing praises lifts our spirits, and as we focus on God through our singing, we are transformed. Our minds and troubles have a way of becoming untangled, and it gives us a time of peace away from our problems. Songs are our prayers. They lead us into prayer. They are powerful prayers in themselves. So, know that the Lord is God. We are sheep. We are Church of the Good Shepherd. So this is a powerful truth. Be still and know I am God. We really need to understand who we are praying to. God is our creator. We are his people. We belong to him, and he deeply loves and cares for us. And the imagery of sheep and pastures reflects God's role as a shepherd. Sheep trust the shepherd. They know his voice. We know God's voice when he talks to us. We are sheep in his pasture, and we submit to his ways. But as humans, we've always had a problem in letting God be God. From Adam and Eve, we've always wanted to take God's place. In our prayer time, we need to remember the acronym JOY. Jesus first, then others, then ourself. This stops us from praying to Jesus with a shopping list of all our desires and wants. It embodies Jesus' teachings and places Jesus firmly in the centre of our lives. We then can allow God to be God, and we can take a back seat. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise him. This verse tells us how we should approach God. Thanksgiving and praise, and coming into a place that is holy and sacred. So make thankfulness a large part of your prayer time. And studies have shown that gratitude can also increase our happiness. Being thankful recognises the blessings God has showered upon us. And it's very easy to forget our blessings during tough times. This verse invites us to reflect on what we have, rather than what we lack, what we've lost. We acknowledge God's provision, love, power, and unwavering support. Therefore, it's essential to give thanks, even if we don't feel it. The Thessalonians tell us, give thanks in all circumstances, and if we look around, there is always something to be thankful for. And it practically, go through the day and look out for things you can be thankful. Saying short thankful prayers throughout the day brings comfort and peace and brings us into the presence of God wherever we are. Every opportunity, every moment is an opportunity to give thanks to God. We're often told that at the end of the day, acknowledge five things you are thankful for. Write them down in your journal, and at the end of the day, you will be so encouraged about what God has been doing in your life. And share with others the things we have been thankful for. Testimonies to one another are a powerful thing and will encourage others in their prayer life. And God answers prayers, and this is an indisputable fact. Praise him. Praise. Glorify God for who he is. When we praise him, we feel his attributes, his love, mercy, grace, and goodness. Praise is not silent. It is an act of spiritual warfare. We know that Joshua praised and shouted, and the walls of Jericho come down. So, play your praise music loud during your prayer time. It will shift the focus from your problems to God's power. But prayer is a choice. When we honour him, we lift ourselves above the challenges we may be facing. Our hearts are transformed and our minds renewed. And when we do this, we cannot help but feel joyful. Lastly, entering God's court symbolises an invitation into a deeper relationship with him. God wants us to come closer and experience his presence. It is not confined to a physical location. It's not about great cathedrals, chapels, prayer rooms. It is about our state of being. When we consciously make a choice to be thankful and praise God, we find ourselves naturally entering into a sacred space with God, wherever you are. The noise of the world will gently fade away, and peace will reign in our hearts. For the Lord God is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. We affirm in prayer that we know God is good, and his actions to us are always in love. In our prayers, it is his goodness that gives us hope and a firm assurance that he listens to us and he answers us. And God is good all the time. Even though we may fall short, we can be confident that his goodness, mercy, and loving kindness is everlasting and knows no end. And we know through looking back, he has been faithful throughout the generations. And when we pray, we know he'll be with us today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And as we enter his presence, we were confident we can trust him with every area of our life and in every difficult situation and circumstance. And this provides great comfort and reassurance. In our prayer life, we can be ourselves and hold nothing back. We have a God who sees everything, and we can't hide anything from him. But we are secure in our identity, and we are safe in his flock with him as our shepherd. So we have every good reason to shout and sing his praises. We have confidence in God's love for us now and confident about his love in the future. So to conclude, Psalm 100 is a prayer, as well as being a pattern for our prayer life. Take each verse as we have done this morning and apply it to your own circumstances. Your understanding of God's character will deepen, and your confidence in answered prayers will grow and grow. God is good, and this is something we can genuinely and joyfully shout about. We have a Saviour that loves us, listens to us, and answers prayers. It's good to know also that we can have a noisy prayer time, especially for people like me. And it's good to know we can have a silent and contemplative one too, because the Bible contains examples of both. And at the end of the day, the most effective prayer is the one that is sincere and honest, whether it be silent or loud, but both are tools in our prayer box. Thank you.